Hallelujah, my signature. Jesus is coming back. How would we like that? I love those songs. They basically fit in with my message. How did you guys get to know about it? Did you listen to me preach during the weekend? But it's coming. Jesus is coming. We're going home. But for the things that are going on right now, I want to show what I got. It's Hal Ansi report. The current worldwide pandemic has frightened some to the point of paralysis. They are afraid to leave their home, fearful of taking a deep breath, fearful of friends and families, and fearful in general. This should not be the response of the followers of Christ. That's what I say. It should not be the response of the followers of Christ. When you go out and you do some shopping, you can basically tell out the point the people out. You see the ones that are in fear. I was in this store buying something, and nobody was wearing a mask. And this lady came in with a mask, and she came to the counter with a mask, and there were people there around. They weren't doing too much social distancing. And she put her stuff on the counter and said, "Put it through. I'll go outside and wait, and you'll bring it out to me." Interesting. And I was thinking, that lady is paranoid. She is paralyzed with fear. She doesn't even think straight. Or is she cautious? I don't think she's cautious. That's fear. Because what we've seen happening over the last couple of months, there is too much proof that a lot of this is news media fake news. I know there's a pandemic. I know there's a coronavirus. But that happens every now and then when one passes through. And the world doesn't get shut down. And neither should it have been shut down this time. But it shows you where we are as humanity. People are getting more and more fearful of the signs of the times because God is starting to speak to people. Their hearts are being opened, whether you're going to turn to fear and being paralyzed with fear or whether you're going to turn to God, it's up to you. The Christian should turn to God, because if you don't, you are going to have one big problem. You need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because things are going to get worse. They're not going to get better. What I sense coming in the near future is the world system turning more to Satan. The earthquakes and all these things are going to intensify, but the church as a whole will begin to start to look up. I heard a very interesting, encouraging message from David Wilkerson. He's always kind of down on the church. He always has something against the church when he preaches a message. But he had a prophecy. And here is what you don't hear him preach too much of. I want you to listen closely. Everybody thinks the world is going to go down in defeat. We are going to leave this earth a glorious, victorious church. Hearing that from David Wilkerson was music to my ears, because I've learned to trust his prophecies. But him saying that is something different, because he's a kind of guy who looks at things in the negative. His cup of water, as far as the church is concerned, is always half empty, not half full. So that was an incredible uplift for what he said. And he's gone to be with the Lord, so he didn't have to wait for the rapture. Anyway, today, before we get into this message, we'll ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to the joy that can be yours. Let them see that God loves them, that we are heading for a glorious time. Yes, we know that we'll see dark times, but God, you have promised that you'll keep us from the hour of temptation that shall come. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And for those of you who are now getting lazy, staying home and listening to this on live stream, next week I believe we will be in church. And what Tom has told me is he is not able to do live streaming from there. So we'll see. So you might as well get ready to come to church next week if they will go ahead with what they have planned. But that's the plan. So for those of you who come to church and those of you who don't come to church, you're welcome also. We got room there. We got room for 50. But anybody who comes, I will in no wise cast out. So you can come. Hallelujah. Come at your own, for your own taste. Hallelujah. At your own risk. Anyway, Matthew chapter 24 in verse 4. And Jesus entered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For those of you who are afraid of all these things, you need to realize that God has a program. He's got a timeline. And we have to remember, our timeline is not his timeline. When Hillary Clinton became was kicked out of the presidency by Donald Trump, before he became president, I was already seeing the rapture because they had everything going for them, these globalists, and I was already seeing the rapture. So I had kind of mixed emotions. When Donald Trump became president, I was glad and at the same time a little saddened because I know the rapture is going to be a little later than I thought. But he could come at any moment. That's still my joy. So it says, see that you be not troubled. All these things must come to pass. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. And we are starting to see these things happening all over the world. We hear of incredible tsunamis that are happening. 200,000 people that are shot are being destroyed. And if it's not a 9 point on the Richter scale, they don't even report an earthquake anymore. So we see things happening all over if we pay attention. Life as usual, to my opinion, stopped at 9/11. Things changed since then. The world has drastically changed. And after this one here, we'll see a bigger change. People will be more cautious. They'll be more health conscious. They'll try to somehow do something to protect themselves. And the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. I have overcome the world. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I know what I'm doing. I have a plan. And we need to get to know the heart of God to fit into that plan and to understand it and enjoy the plan. I'm beginning to really enjoy myself because I've been preaching this for the last 30 years. Now I'm beginning to see what I've been preaching is coming true. I live my own preaching. Isn't that interesting? And then it says in Matthew 24 in verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. I want to clarify you on this. I do not quite believe it's talking about Christian false prophets. A Christian would, if he has a false prophecy, he doesn't mean to deceive you. He just figures he hears from God. So he gives you a false prophecy if there are any out there who do that. But Ezekiel is a prophet. and he wasn't a false prophet, and he prophesied Ezekiel 38 and 39, the incredible war that is supposed to come to pass. And it hasn't come to pass yet. So when a Christian prophesies, it doesn't mean that his prophecy doesn't come true if it doesn't come true the next day. It could take time. But we need to understand the false prophets of the day in the secular world. First of all, the fake news media. All of Canada's new news broadcasters are fake news. They're out to deceive you. And then we have the evolution, the false prophets. We have the atheists. We have those who claim that we're going to be into global warming. That's false prophecy. They're trying to do this and that and do this and that. They're emptying your pockets. That's what they're doing. They're false prophets, deceiving many. And when you watch what's going on TV, you see how deceived those people are. They're screaming at the top of their lungs for change. The only change to the good that can come is for people to turn to God, because it's going to get worse. Those who know God will begin to look for him and find joy and peace. Those who don't know God, it's going to become dark and darker. Luke 21 in verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations, we see that in America. Terrible distress. Nations fighting each other. There's basically two sides. There's perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking at the things that are coming on the earth. You see them committing suicide. You see them killing one another. It's unbelievable. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Wait till that starts to really happen. We're going to see incredible things intensify. This is why I say, have your heart prepared for this. My heart is prepared for what's coming. I know what's coming. I may not know all the details, but my heart's prepared. But what I'm not quite prepared for was how people reacted to what was going on. I couldn't believe the simpletons that are out there. I couldn't believe how they would just be like sheep, doing whatever the government tells them and not making a sound. I always thought the Antichrist must be an incredible smart person. Now I'm beginning to realize he doesn't have to be smart at all. The agenda is there. All they have to do is follow. A child could lead them into the tribulation, Satan at the helm. That's how it's going to work. I don't think the Antichrist is going to be smart at all. He's going to be duped by Satan himself, and he's going to be invaded by Satan. And people are going to bow down to him. Well, you may wonder, that's going a little too far. I saw a white lady on TV kissing the feet of black people. I wasn't surprised. That's what they're doing all over the place. Black people, I have nothing against black people. What I have is something against that white lady. She needs to get her head screwed on right, because she was kissing and kissing and kissing the feet of those black guys as they walked past. What an incredible situation we're seeing playing out right on TVs. We see it in our living rooms. Well, that's what it means here. The men's hearts will fill them for fear of looking after the things which are coming on the earth. And when I see these things, I'm reminded of God. What must he think? He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows how it's going to play out. He's in control, and they're going to go according to their blueprint. The time of the tribulation is going to start when the Lord Jesus Christ goes up to the one on the throne and takes the seal from his hand, that roll that is sealed. And when he takes it out and opens it and opens the seventh seal, that's when the tribulation will start, and not 1 minute before that. So open your hearts to that. In the meantime, listen to preachers who know something about the end times, and not to these guys, those Johnny-come-lately guys who are just filling in what they've been neglecting up till now. They don't even know what they're talking about, a lot of them. Now listen to Luke 21. I have an incredible joy to look forward to. This world is dead. This world is dying in trespasses and sin. And the world has nothing to look for but fear, anxiety, hatred, killing, pestilences. But the child of God, he has something else. And I want to encourage you. I want to give you something today that'll bring you joy to your heart if you can dare to believe Scripture. It tells us in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." They have begun to come to pass. There's no denying it. We're all seeing it with our own eyes. It's not just some preacher screaming at the top of his lungs for the last 30 years. Now it's starting to happen. And those of you who don't pay attention, those of you who are nonchalant about this, they will have to suffer the consequences, because confusion comes if you don't pay attention. So he's telling us to look up, lift up your head. In Luke 21, in verse 29, he spake to them a parable. "Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they shall now shoot forth, you see and know of yourself that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know you that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." The Apostle Paul was waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. He was waiting for the rapture. He was waiting for the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been 2,000 years ago. And now we're seeing very clearly, Israel has become a nation again. Things are starting to happen. I am that generation. I may be very close to 70, but I feel I am going to experience that change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I am feeling in my heart that I'll see my loved ones rise from the graves and come and say, "Hi, hi, Dad, haven't seen you for a while, but it's nice to see you. We're going up soon, so get ready." Hallelujah. This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And then it says in Luke 21, I want to talk to Christians here. "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unaware." Be ready for Jesus. You don't want to go up there while holding on to this world and him having to rip you from this place. Be ready for him. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. If you would see how much he loves you, you would change your life in an instant. But because you don't spend time in Christ Jesus, in the Word of God, he cannot register it in your heart. I heard one pastor today telling us the soul, it wants to fight with the spirit. And if you're going to read the Word of God, it'll bring something into your heart, into your soul, that'll quicken it, that'll make it to to look for God. How many people today read the Bible? They seem to have no time. They're too much overcharged with the things of this life. Way too busy making money. I'm not against making money. To my opinion, that's one of the most exciting things this world has to offer. If you know how to make money and you can make good use of it. But if you're going to focus on that and focus on that alone, you're missing out. You're worshiping two gods. You're too much into this life. Let go of it. God is not a spoil sport, but he doesn't want you to have two masters. So don't allow your heart be overcharged with the things of this life. This is why I'm kind of at peace and glad that the sports things have been taken down. Far too many Christians were way in over their heads with sports idols. They knew these sports figures, aunts and uncles and kids. They knew all their background. You ask them a Bible question, they don't have a clue. That means you're idolizing something that you shouldn't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51, in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." I hope that doesn't mean Baron Trump. I hope it means this Trump we have now, Donald Trump. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that. "The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." That happened once before when Jesus rose from the grave. They came out of the graves and went in and talked to people on the streets in Jerusalem. And that's what you can expect one of these days. At the rapture, at the trumpet sound, your dead relatives, your dead loved ones will pop out of the graves and they'll come knocking on your door and say, "Hello, haven't seen you for a while." But guess what? Guess where we're going? We're going home. Hallelujah. Jesus has this incredible place waiting for those who are going to be changed, for those who raise from the dead. And it's going to happen all over the world. So get ready for that incredible event. The Bible teaches us that those who rose from the graves, when Jesus arose from the grave, they walked into Jerusalem. They communicated with the people in there. What do you think they were talking about? Is it a wonder that 3,000 people came to know the Lord on the first day that the apostle preached? No, it's not a wonder when you know these things. They were talking about Jesus. And that's what I'm telling you now. Jesus is coming back for us. Hallelujah. One more scripture in closing out, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Again, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Remember, Jesus isn't coming down. We're going up. Hallelujah. He isn't coming down to this earth like at the end of the tribulation. This is before the tribulation begins. He's coming down to the clouds. And that he can't come down, but he can't contain himself. He has to come halfway to meet us. That's how much he loves us. He's going for his bride. And that bride is going to lift up off the ground. And we're going to see him. We're going to meet him in the air. That's going to be awesome. And when you read through the Bible, you read through the Testament, I only found "comfort yourself" with these words where it talks about Jesus coming back. Yes, it talks about the tribulation, but it tells us, we will go to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So what does the word comfort mean? We all know what it means. That's the total opposite of having fear in your heart when you're comforted. And when Jesus comes back, we will know what true joy and comfort is. But I want to be ahead of that. I want to comfort you now. I want to explain to you, this is written. This is written by the Holy Spirit. We are not appointed unto wrath, but we are appointed unto salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What more can I say? If you don't believe the Bible, then you will have to live in fear. But God wrote us this love letter, and he said, I'm coming back for you. And it'll happen quickly, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We will be changed, yes. We will be changed. We cannot go up in this glory, in this body that is full of all sorts of things that we don't like anymore, especially as you grow older. We will be changed. We'll have a glorious body. The Bible teaches us Jesus had a changed body and he could disappear. He could reappear, and he could eat, and he could drink wine. Hallelujah. It was awesome. I love that body. I'm going to enjoy mine for the rest of eternity. I am going to enjoy that body, never to be sick again, never to have any fear again, no anxiety, joy, perfect peace, love, and a complete rest in God. For those of you who don't know Jesus, look at what you're missing. It's there for free. Look what he's giving us. He paid the price for our sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. His righteousness was passed on to me, and he took my sin and destroyed them at the cross, never to be remembered anymore. Hallelujah. And he said it, I didn't. So that makes it true. I am saved by grace through faith. It is not of myself. It is a gift of God. Take it today. For those of you who don't quite know whether you're born again or not, or you have been putting it off, or you may say there's so many hypocrites there in the church. Well, there's room for one more. Come on in. We're nobody's perfect here. We're only forgiven. What but the only is all we need. We are forgiven. Hallelujah. God has made us perfect in Jesus has made us perfect in God's sight by his blood. That blood washed us, cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Every wrinkle, every bit is gone. We stand pure and holy. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are his perfect purchased possession. So give him your life today. Don't let this deal pass, because it only comes once, and that's in this lifetime. After that, the deal is gone. You cannot get it anymore. What a horror for those who are going to be nonchalant about this and not even care. Give him your life today, and you will never, ever regret that decision. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah.
I can feel the strange excitement. Penny.